I am typing worse than a blind dead monkey. Welcome back to Dice and Salt. I'm Lord Richter.
And I'm Lady Toast.
And we're here to talk about episode 158, Out of the Kitchen and Into the Fire. I did like the intro for this episode. It's educational.
Yeah, again.
And the response was the most half-hearted and depressed I'm learning I've ever heard.
It's generally the how that response goes. I am learning.
Yeah, it brought to mind one of my favorites, Mathfinder. You play for the education, not the fun.
This has been the case the whole time.
I know. Well, this is it, folks. We're starting book six. And Alex opens us up with another awesome opening credit scene, whatever you want to call it. Flashback, sideways, forward, I don't know. But it is beautiful.
Are we doing the scene first and then going back to the level ups?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, you know, get it started and then talk about where it is.
Fair enough.
So our scene opens up, and the reason I'm going to mention this is I saw in chat, Zeno in the chat mentioned that this hit him hard. It felt like there was hope, and then it was brutally stomped out of him.
What were they called? The
Goldakus,
yeah.
Goldaku, yeah.
They hit that guy pretty hard.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
So the setup, folks,
you know, wiped.
Yeah, they did. They did. Well, that's what happens. You know, undead faces a dragon flattens them. It's really good. It was all very heroic, very happy, very wonderful.
Yeah, they made it into the city.
Well, the castle, I guess. It's Hammer Rock is a castle, or Hammer Rock. I'm not sure which one.
Hammer Rock.
Hammer.
Rock. They explain later that symbols of hammers were found engraved in rocks. Hence
oh, so it's Hammer Rock. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. It was the Annunciation by certain people who shall mostly remain nameless, Alex.
I didn't get anything other than Hammer Rock, so I think that's just you.
It could be, but I have such a delicate ear for, you know, voices that...
Okay.
Except for that grinding, whining... No, I'm teasing. So yeah, we open up and... Just to give you the quick rundown, folks, I'm sure you've listened to it, but the refugees, a knight comes up from behind the refugees and says, you got to get moving faster. And then he decides to help them and they race to the castle and something's coming after them. And finally, the knight has to stand his ground and hold them off so the refugees can make it in. But it's not enough. So the knights, folks from the castle have to come out and it looks really bad. And the Goldaku are coming and Goldaku are undead cyclops. And, yes. The spelling of the monster is G-H-O-L and then Daku, D-A-K-O or U. Let me look.
Oh,
or maybe it's Goldako. But I love how the G-H-O-L is, you know, exactly Golgan from the Golgan Empire and all that stuff. So it's pretty nice tie into the greater lore.
I didn't even notice that.
The Cyclopses are kind of terrifying, of course, if you know the lore.
Let's assume that I don't.
Well, there was the Golgan Empire long, long ago. It was all Cyclopses. They were badasses, ruled the world for a while. Okay. So it means these undead are really old undead. You know, really old undead. And, you know, they come out, stomp a knight, and then the response comes out, and then the dragon swoops in and helps save and put an end to it. And yeah, cheers! And then we, you know, cut into the... Let's search through their belongings to see what might be useful for everyone, because we're in such a dire strait. Mm-hmm. What is this strange piece of wood? And sadly, that is not the intro to some kind of softcore porn interlude. No.
God.
Unfortunately, it turns out to be radiant fire. It's a nuke and it goes boom. And it sucks. Oh,
I thought that was like an STD.
Oh, God, I wish. I mean, at this point in this story, yes, I wish. It was radiant fire. When I went to go pee, it just burned and glowed.
It does both positive and negative energy.
Yeah. It humiliates you, but you feel better. Oh, wow. Just ascended down a rabbit hole there.
That's what we do best.
That's right. That's right. Brotherhood of the Wolf. That's what I was thinking of. That's what's been on the tip of my tongue. That, folks, if you haven't seen it, is really quickly, it's a horror movie about a creature that was in France. And in this movie, the creature that's attacking La Bête, the beast, is doing it. But then in this movie, for some reason, they just throw in like 30 minutes of softcore porn right in the middle of the horror movie. And like, what? Not like, oh, no, let's do it while we're camping. And then somebody comes up and smashes us dead. No, no. This is, no, no, we totally changed the theme and tempo of the movie, and it's, you know, bom chicka wah wah.
Yeah.
You, and then we come back afterwards.
You didn't have to say they added softcore porn. You said it was French.
Well, yes, but this is, it, trust me, if you watch it, it's not, you know, hey, softcore with blood, softcore, and monster, softcore. No, it's like, oh no, we're going to be French and artsy, but no boobies. And you're like, well, that's different. And then all of a sudden, whoa, there it is.
Okay.
You can keep or cut that. I don't care.
I mean, after that, I mean, we kind of have to go through their level ups.
Yes. Then you know, after that awesome intro, after the letters appear on the screen as we see Hammer Rock, this, you know, glowing green dead thing, or maybe not dead thing. I don't know.
Should we talk about the title of this book, Midwives of Death? Or Midwives to Death.
I think
it's Midwives to Death.
Midwives to Death. Okay, hang on. I'm going to look it up because I'm not remembering that name. But that doesn't mean squat. All right. Midwives to Death. Wow.
No. Ugh.
That sounds like we're humped. And not in a good way.
Well, midwives are the things that help people give birth. So are they helping?
So Midwives to Death must mean they're here to guide us into our death, because then we can be undead and raised again, a la Urgothoa.
I guess. I thought of it as more of like they're helping. I don't even know. Like, they're the thing that's going to help kill Tarbaphon, but they're not actually going to be the ones to do it. They're
that's not what I got out of it. But, you know.
What, we'll see, I guess.
I was thinking of the PCs as the midwives, perhaps, and, you know.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
They're going to help give birth to a whole lot of death, a whole lot of ending.
Mm.
Not beginning, just ending. All right. And with that out of the way, they kick into, you know, where are we at? What's going on?
We don't want to talk about their level ups at all?
No. We want to talk about their level ups. I'm getting there.
Oh, well, you said, okay.
Because he does a little bit of, you know, sort of here where we are, checking in, and then he goes, okay, we're level 16. Give us the stuff.
Yeah.
And boom, the discussion begins. So talk level ups.
They get stuff. No. Valar gets some pretty fun. It's like a spell that I generally don't remember what it does. Oh, basically it makes everyone. It's like a really powerful friendship spell, right? Where you can make people or undead basically like, hey, we're best friends now, unless you attack them. But like, there's no save for it, which is really cool.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah, I like that. They are level 16, which is not a level like most of these APs usually go to. So that's always exciting. Especially already at the start of the book, which means they're probably going to hit 18, maybe 19.
I believe Tyrant's Grasp goes all the way to level 20.
Does it?
I believe. Oh, I can't swear to it.
So it's like Wrath of the Righteous?
I think so, yes. And also Return of the Rune Lords.
Okay. Just without all the mystic stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, the mythic. The mythic,
mythic. That's what I meant. That's what I said. That's clearly what I said. I'll edit it and make it sound like that's exactly what I said.
That's exactly what you said. There was no Hammer Rock there.
I'm not exactly sure how they're boosting their, because Arginus's charisma goes up to 26 now, which is insane. I'm not exactly sure how he's getting it that high, but character creation is not my forte. I do not really enjoy it. I don't really understand it.
He could have some stuff boosting it without trouble.
So is it gear that's doing that for him, or?
Well, if he had an 18 to start, and let's just say he's human, which I don't remember if he is or not, he could get a +2 to two stats, if I remember right. Two stats? Mm-hmm. One stat? I think it's two stats. But anyway, let's just assume it's one for safekeeping, because I know that it's at least one.
Mm-hmm.
He gets one +2. So that would take him, that 18 would become a 20. And then he could have a headband of uber charisma that would give him a plus six. That's a 26. I think, though, that there's some other things that can boost it as well. That, to me, was just the most expedient way to hit 26. But he could have some other things that are doing that, which is shocking that he has a 26 charisma. However, not surprising, because how the hell else was he teleporting into all those kitchens and everybody just looked at him and went, oh, who's my special little guy?
I don't think they were doing that, though. He specifically got a whole celebration just for him.
He did. But when he said he's coming back to the kitchen, Mariana just looked at him and gave him a look like, who's my special little guy? Alex specifically used those words.
Because she was mocking him, I think.
Yes, I know. It's not fair to make fun of people that have, you know, real problems holding them kind of back. You know, when their development isn't the same as everyone else's. It's not fair. But she did it. But our genius did take Mind Blank.
Yeah, which is not a spell I was aware of.
I knew it was out there. It's just I was impressed with Joe because he says, what else is on the 8th level list for you? Because he's like, you know, you took Mind Blank and that sounds awesome. But what else was out there? What did you give up to get that?
Mm-hmm.
And he's our genius is a sorcerer and a harrower. So, you know, he has some good access to the spell list. And I got to say, there's some fun things out there on the 8th level list. Although for this, Mind Blank totally making him,
right,
you know, non-existent. The only kind of downside is maybe not with this group. They use invisibility a couple times. But it's kind of a weird scenario where if they all go invisible to each other, they're actually undetectable to each other because they've all been mind blanked.
Okay. How would you detect them otherwise? Like,
You could use see invisibility. But I believe see invisibility is a divination, and mind blank specifically blocks divinations. So,
is that what the interaction was? Because I didn't understand it. I didn't understand why. Because when he said, like, yeah, when you're invisible, you wouldn't know where each other are. And I'm like, yeah, that's obvious. I didn't understand what they were doing there, because it's like,
let me see here. Yes,
obviously.
See invisibility is a divination spell.
Hmm.
And then let me bring up Mind Blank, and I believe that it specifically says it blocks all divinations. But that's the interaction. So even if you have see invisibility, you now cannot see your teammates, which before you could. Let's see what we get here. The gather information about the target through divination magic, such as detect evil, locate creature, scry, and see invisible. There you go. So it's even called out specifically in the spell as a, hey, if you can do this, you can't, you know, this blocks it.
Okay. So it makes a little more sense now, because I was just like, yeah, obviously you can't see invisible creatures.
Well, right. But, you know, some of them have see invisible, so when their teammates go invisible, they can't accidentally target them in an area of effect. I mean, they could deliberately target them, obviously, but they can see where they are, so there's no chance of an accidental, you know, targeting. It's all deliberate. Now it's back to accidental.
Okay.
And then let's see. That was our genus. That was Valbar. Uhtred. Uhtred, I think, had the big. What was he? Let me go take a peek here.
He gets to hit spellcasters even if they cast offensively.
Yes, there is that, but there was also a spell I thought that he had. Oh, Blessings of the Dawnflower. That was a spell he got.
There was an issue with this that Zeno brought up.
He just said, I'm not sure he's allowed that spell, or that he'd be.
I'm trying to figure out why.
Well, let's go look up the spell. Let me bring it up real quick.
Yeah.
5 minutes later.
Oh, it's called Shield of the Dawnflower.
Oh, Shield. Are you sure?
You create a disc of sunlight on one arm. That's exactly what he said it did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he has apparently the greater version. Any creature that strikes you with a melee attack deals normal damage, but also takes 1d6 points plus 1 point per caster level.
So you have to be Sarenrae, worshiper of Sarenrae.
I think that was what Zeno was complaining about.
Oh, maybe not, because it's at war. It says it at War Priest.
Yeah, it's War Priest 6, Sarenrae specifically. You have to be a War Priest of Sarenrae.
Right, but it does say Magus 6.
Yeah.
So apparently you don't have to be, but if you're a War Priest, you have to follow Sarenrae to get it.
Right.
And apparently clerics can just get it.
Yeah. It's like clerics can have it, but war priests specifically have to be Saren Rae.
I think that's how the right way to read that, because I think it would be somewhere else, because there was some other orc spell I saw at one point that I think that's how it was laid out.
Yeah.
And when it mentioned it was, you know, you got to be, you know, you're orc or you're a half orc or something. Okay.
It's from Inner Sea Gods, which I guess is a approved book.
So he has the greater version, because that's the one that did the damage?
I'm pretty sure he said he had the greater version. Yeah, because the regular version says it provides illumination as if it were continual flame, but the other one does daylight, and he said it was daylight. So yeah, he has the greater version.
Okay. Yeah, very interesting. It'll be fun to see how that plays. I'm still surprised he seems to be going deeper and deeper down that Saren Rae road. But
yeah, I think a couple of people at this point are surprised by that.
Well, it feels like that's not the direction his character's taking, but, you know, right, if she's still trying to save him and give him the chance to come back. Okay, and then next one up is Thalias.
I don't remember what he did. I don't remember anything that he got. I genuinely don't. I don't remember what he got. Is Arginus the one that does the harrowing things?
Yes.
Okay, so he was the one that got the final little thing where he could cast Disintegrate for a stupid amount of damage if he pulled certain cards.
Oh, yeah. If he pulls certain cards, yeah.
Okay, so absolutely. What did Thalias get? I don't remember.
I don't either. Curses.
Didn't he get level 6 spells and took... I don't know.
I'm trying to re-listen now to get it.
Yeah, I can hear it.
He max rolled his hit dice.
Well, that's nice. Uhtred, I don't think, has like gotten over half on any of his rolls.
I'm listening. The O-Ball took all of his lay on hands to 36.
Yeah, he gets like a healing thing that does like a stupid amount of healing. But he can't do it if he does the chant of 3.
If he does the champion?
Well, no, if he does the chant of 3. Like, if he does the champion right, and then he can't do like the really big healing things. Like, he's restricted to like the first 3 levels of cure wounds or whatever it is.
Oh, right. He's got a ring, and that ring adds an extra +2 on top of stuff. So like a cure light wounds does 1d8 +5 for him. It'll do 1d8 +7. And so it'll do some of those buffing.
That was the ring.
Yeah.
But like he had some new spell or something.
All right, hang on. Let me keep listening.
All right.
Yeah, Joe, he basically said the O-Ball was his biggest buff.
That's right, because it just helps his healing.
Yeah, he said, I got 6 level spells, there's some neat stuff, but he didn't, the biggest thing he felt was the O-Ball, so that was a big deal for him.
Okay, well that's cool.
And then we finally get to meet Aluna.
Well, didn't we meet her already?
We did, yeah, in Vigil. I think there was some sass, some lip.
Yeah.
So you guys are crazy.
Well, yeah.
And then boom, not so crazy. Wish you'd listened to us. And then there was a desire to use the pot in the Heroes Feast to give them Zapotle dinner.
Oh, right, because he wanted to use the cauldron to give them better food.
Yep, he wanted to use the cauldron to give them fancy schmancy Zapotle food. And here are tortillas. Here are beans.
Said, absolutely not. You get rice pudding and stale bread.
Yeah, unless you use the Hero's Feast. That was the thing. If you use the Hero's Feast aspect, then yes. Otherwise, it's, you know, tortillas and beans.
Mm-hmm. Which isn't bad.
No, it's not bad. And then we run into Dondon. Dondon's back. I'm surprised to see that. He was kind of a bad guy turned, wow, this is really bad. I don't want a part of this. This is too much even for my, you know, weak conscience guy. And he's back.
Mm-hmm.
And then we cliffhanger on, what do you all know about Witch Gates?
Witch gates. Yeah, which
those gates. Those gates. Yeah.
You sure?
Okay. Positive. Well, we're whitelisted on them. That's all I know.
I thought they were just like completely turned off, though, at the end.
No, Tarbafon unblocked himself. Because he taunted about how he'd unblocked himself.
Yeah, that's what
did
I meant.
Did you think I wouldn't be able to? Yeah, we kind of did, because we had the artifact in your control room, and oh well.
Yeah. I assume he can just kind of do what he wants there, but yeah. So I guess we're going to Hammer Rock.
Yeah, Gotta go to Hammerock. I'm hoping that 159 will give us a little more detail on where we gotta go. But it sure seems like Hammerock's the place to be.
Yeah.
Could be some interesting things hidden there.
I mean, I would hope so. That's kind of the point that they're going. It'd be real weird if Paizo was just like, hey, let's make them go here, but do nothing.
Wouldn't be the first time.
That's sad.
Well, I mean, Zapotl was kind of like that. Let's have him go here and great. Do not much.
So what exactly did they end up doing besides rebirthing the tree and getting their O-balls flipped? That was the big
takeaway, but the problem was it didn't have the lead up to it. When you got to the end of it, you weren't like, oh, cool, this is a neat thing to do. It was just sort of, you know, hey, we flailing around. Wah, 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 wah. Oh, now we got to do this and this, and now back to the fight.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I don't have anything else.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot for this one. Like, the cinematic was great. It was very, oh, shit. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Okay, they're fine. Oh, they're not so fine. So that was...
Yeah, it was a neat double whammy. And I'm surprised. I was surprised that Hammerock warranted a Radiant Fire.
Well, that's the whole point of them going to see why.
Well, hopefully, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like, we get the cinematic and the level ups, and then it's like one conversation and then a cliffhanger. So there's not a whole lot to the episode, really, even though it goes on for an hour and a half, which is fine. It was a fun episode.
Well, you got to set the stage sometimes.
That is true. This is prep for next episode.
Right. Because Zapotl didn't prep us for anything.
that is true.
Right. Okay, I'm done with the ba-dum-bum drums and the smack talk about Zapotl.
That's fine. But yeah, I don't have anything else. If you're done, I guess we can take us
out.
Yeah,
I'll take us out. And that does it for us this week. You can find us and the players on the Inspired Incompetence Discord. Links can be found at inspiredincompetence.com. I'm Lord Richter.
And I'm Lady Toast.
Bye.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Crap, sorry.
I'm probably going to cut that because that just seems mean.
Yeah, it kind of went in a weird direction.
Yeah.
I hadn't meant for it to.